Hawkfrost grunted. There's something not right in the forest. Cats have gone missing from all the clans, for one thing. Do you remember what the other leaders said at the last gathering? That's four more cats besides Stormfur and Feathertail. I don't know what's going on, but I'll find out. Leafpaw tensed. She had told Mothwing about the two-leg monsters, but obviously Mothwing had not passed on the news to the rest of her clan. Chilled by the hunger in Hawkfrost's voice, Leafpaw prayed to StarClan that she would say nothing about it now. To her relief, her friend meowed calmly. There's nothing wrong in RiverClan, so why should we care? Have you got bees in your brain? Hawkfrost snapped. This could be our chance to make RiverClan great. If the other clans are weak, we could rule over the whole forest. What? Mothwing sounded disgusting. You're the one with bees in your brain. Who do you think you are, Tiger Star? There are worse cats to imitate, Hawkfrost meowed. Spencer Grant, and you're listening to Four Trees, a Warrior Cats community podcast. This week, I'm joined by my friend Chris. She is a writer working on Chroma, Bloom, and Blight, and we are here to discuss the book Moonrise. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Been doing pretty well recently. Jumping back into the Warrior series after this long has certainly been a real trip.
Yeah, with both feet. Well, you reread like the first arc every year or so, right? I think you mentioned that one.
Not every year. I've reread them on occasion. They have a very special place of deep nostalgia within my heart. So I try to make it a point to reread them occasionally. This is probably only the second or third time I've actually read the new prophecy, though.
Really?
I do not make it a point to read these very often because I don't have the same nostalgia for them.
Yeah, that's fair. They're I think the first three books are the good ones, right? That's what they say, and then after
Well, I don't know if that's what they say, but that's what I say.
I mean, if this is one of the good ones, I had fun with this book. I had a lot of fun with this book. It was nice to get the perspective of Stormfur. I've always wanted a thing in the perspective of Graystripe, and Stormfur is probably the closest we're gonna get until the manga. But
Stormfur is a pretty close cell with his father. It's nice.
It's really funny. I guess recap the book real quick so that we can talk about the, you know, the thing that happens in it.
Of course.
All right, so basically there's a group of strange cats that are living in a cave, and they're prophesizing that a silver cat will come and deliver them from danger. And then we wake up in the perspective of Stormfur, the first time we've been a cat who isn't ThunderClan. And Stormfur is expressing jealousy about how close Brambleclaw and Squirrelpaw have gotten, because, as we all know, horniness is passed down in the Y chromosome.
Yes, of course.
He's also, in the same breath, he's, talking about how jealous he is of Feathertail and Crowpaw. And, the whole time I was like, wow, Stormfur, if only there was another cat on this journey that you could fall in love with that isn't in ThunderClan. Or your sister. It was so uncomfortable.
Stormfur really wants to get it somehow, and he needs to calm down.
Yeah, well, I guess this is part of what it's like to be Graystripe, you know, or half Graystripe.
Yeah.
So they travel with Midnight to the forest they were in the last book, and they meet up with the Purdy. And Midnight is like, go to the mountains, and Purdy wants to play some more in the two-leg place, but then Midnight calls him a mouse brain and tells him to shut up, so he leaves. Then back in the clans, Firestar and Cinderpelt are trying to convince Shadow Clan to do something about all the two-leg monsters destroying their territory, but all of the brain cells are being used up by the high density of protagonists and ex-protagonists in the area, so Shadow Clan has to refuse. Leafpaw and her new best friend Sorreltail decide to secretly go to Wind Clan and speak with Tallstar, but Wind Clan chases them away as well, and Leafpaw and Sorreltail are only saved by pretty guardian Sailor Mothwing, who takes them to her dealer and shares some drugs. That scene made me very
all of the Mothwing scenes in this series are kind of weird.
Yeah,
just because it's so, Mothwing seems too nice, so it feels like a setup. It's really bizarre.
I know that, like, the book wants me to, like, these books have a weird obsession with the whole, like, sins of the father kind of thing. I know the book wants me to be suspicious of Mothwing, but I can't tell to what extent it does.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have the plot line of sins of the father already.
Yeah.
With like Brambleclaw.
Yeah, and with, so, like, Stormfur.
Having three different sins of the father running alongside each other is really something.
It's important to see it from every angle, I guess.
Of course.
So Leafpaw spends some time thinking about how pretty Mothwing is, and then Mothwing talks about how messed up it'd be if any ambitious cats were to take advantage of the unrest caused by two-leg incursions on the territory. And then Hawkfrost comes by for no reason.
No reason at all.
No, absolutely none.
This is not bizarrely suspicious timing.
He's like the only other River Clan cat in this book.
Yeah, there's Stormfur, there's Feathertail, there's Mothwing, there's Hawkfrost.
That's it. Those are the only ones we see.
That's River Clan.
Every time, like, we stop by River Clan, if Leafpaw mentioned seeing a cat, it's one of those two. There's no other excuses. Nobody else lives there anymore. It's messed up.
Worth mentioning, Hawkfrost. Mm-hmm. Notable.
Cool name.
For a very long time, Hawkfrost was my favorite name in this series.
Yeah.
Really good name.
I think Frost is such, like, an inherently cool word, right?
Yeah.
Like, encroaching of entropy in the form of ice.
And then, like, a position at the end of, like, that sharp sound at the end of Hawkfrost.
Yeah. It's really...
Ooh.
I love the vibe.
It's got a real ring to it. Also, it makes no sense.
Well, maybe it could. Maybe, well, it's like a frosty hawk.
Mothwing. She has her name right. It's mm-hmm. the wing of a moth, right? And it's like, but it's kind of boring.
Maybe, well, like, Hawkfrost must have been one of the earlier, like, warriors that Leopard Star named, right? So, like, maybe she was, like, going through a thing.
Oh, yeah. She was going through the weird ones.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, like, I think about this a lot, because, like, in the early days, like, all of the cats had, like, really cool names. Like, there was Moonflower and, like, Sunfall under Pinestar's rule, and I guess Oakstar before him. I didn't read I don't remember much more from the book. But, like, when we get to, like, Bluestar's era, we get, like, you know, Brackenfur and Mousefur. Yeah. And, like,
they're very utilitarian.
They start getting a little generic, you know? And I think that just, like, this was maybe...
It's a matter of leaders, you know?
Maybe Leopard Star was, like, saw this trend happening, and she was like, no, we need more Moonflowers. Let's come up with better names.
We need more interesting names, you know?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder I was Snowpaw, right?
Yeah.
Did she never got a warrior name, did she?
Snowpaw? Wait, yeah. Which Snowpaw?
Bluefur Snowpaw.
Blue, her sister? No, she was Snowfur. Yeah.
Was she?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really generic then.
It was so dumb.
Wait, that's incredibly generic. I forgot about that.
Yeah, understandable. You thought that she had a kid while she was still an apprentice.
You Moonflower, mm-hmm. and then Snowfur and Bluefur.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It is so dumb. Stormtail was another really good one. I kept, like, accidentally mistyping Stormfur's name as Stormtail when I was taking notes, because, like, I just had that on my mind.
I like Greypool. Greypool
is, like, yeah. I think a lot of them are just, like, the cool non sequiturs.
Well, but, I mean, a pool can be gray.
But how can a storm be tail?
Or is it a tail being stormy?
Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe that is it. So the prophecy cats travel to the to the mountains, and they learn what eagles are, and it sucks for, like, everybody. And Stormfur tries to, like, talk to his sister about Crowpaw, and he's like, hey, I know that you're, you know, looking at him, and you think that he's hot for some reason, and I just want you to know how much it sucks for us, because, like, you know, our dad
sins of the father.
Is a half-clan relationship as well. And Feathertail's like, rip to my dad, but I'm different.
Of course.
And then Stormfur shrugs and goes on fantasizing about how cool it would be if Squirrelpaw was an eligible River Clan bachelorette. And then they wander through the mountains for, like, three more chapters, and it's really fun. And then a rainstorm washes them all into a ravine and kills them instantly. But then, like,
they're all just dead.
But then the next day, there's a group of pagan magical cats called the Tribe of Rushing Water, and they bring them back to life with their satanic magic.
Yeah.
And then two of them, Brooke and Crag, take them to their leader, and they share some hugs. How do you feel about the Tribe of Rushing Water?
I have mixed feelings about the Tribe of Rushing Water.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly because I don't remember if we encounter the tribe again at any point in the Warrior series. But it feels like there's, like, some missed potential with the tribe. Like, an entirely mm-hmm. separate group of cats.
Yeah.
With a whole separate thing going on.
Yeah,
right?
Like, it's not just like, Sky Clan, you know, there are the clans, but there aren't four of them. It's like, there's a new society.
Yeah, like, it feels like there could have been, like, some real interesting, like, cultural exchange. And yeah, they live really high up in the mountain.
Yeah.
But, like, it would have been interesting if, like, I don't know, like, a tribe cat had come back with, like,
maybe.
See how the clans work before going back to the tribe. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
It just feels like there's missed potential with this whole, like, they do a little bit of that. But, like, it just feels weird, you know?
Yeah, I like the, like, even the little customs had different names, you know? There was the,
yeah, yeah.
the giving of close comfort.
Yeah, as opposed to the sharing tongues.
I can't believe they found a worse, like, way to say grooming each other. Like, one of them is literally, like, implying that they're licking the inside of each other's mouths. But, like, this one's just more vague and somehow worse. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really sounds like these cats are going, you know?
Absolutely. It's beautiful in its way, you know?
It's truly majestic.
So, back in the forest, Leafpaw spends some more time with Mothwing to try and learn how to fish. And then Hawkfrost, the other River Clan cat, shows up and announces his plan to become another fascist dictator. And then Leafpaw suddenly realizes, yep, he's one of Tiger Star's sons, because as we all know, ideology is passed down in the Y chromosome.
Just like horniness.
Yeah, exactly. So she goes and tells Firestar that Squirrelpaw is still alive, so he stops bothering her about breaking the medicine cat rules to spend time with her crush. And then later on, Wind Clan steals some prey, and Firestar takes like a group of warriors with him to talk to Tallstar. And Tallstar's like, hey, what's going on? I'm Tallstar. Why are you trying to drive us out like Broken Star did? And Firestar's like, wait, what? We just don't want you to steal our prey. And then Tallstar's like, oh, okay. And then Thunderclan leaves, because, you know, apparently that's all it takes to resolve conflict in these days.
Worth mentioning, as time goes on, mm-hmm. the forest is getting progressively shittier and shittier.
It's so bad.
Like, the forest is not faring well. The two legs are ripping everything up. Giant monsters are everywhere. Everything's poisoned. Everything sucks.
Oh,
everything
God.
Sucks in
it's
the forest.
It's so bad.
Right now. It's like, it's just trauma bingo for these cats. Like, checking off the box.
Basically, like, as the story goes on, there's, like, entire chapters where they're looking for prey and they can't find it. It's like, whoa, yeah. They're not eaten. That's scary. I'm scared.
Winter's
now.
Coming. Cats
exactly.
are going missing. Everything sucks in the forest.
Yeah, and Leafpaw, like, could do something to fix it. Like, she knows about Brambleclaw and Squirrelpaw's journey, but she doesn't tell them about it, because, like, I guess she enjoys watching them suffer or something?
Well, I think it's like a medicine cat thing. It's like a Star Clan.
It could be a Star Clan thing. I've like noted in this books, it's like basically nobody tells each other anything. Like, I guess it has to be like, rooted in tradition or something like that, because otherwise we could be solving so many problems before they, you know, become problems.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, I think it's mentioned, like, the leaders can't mention to anybody what they see in the visions at Highstones.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes Firestar's vision a real problem in the darkest hour.
Yeah.
Because he can't tell anybody about what's coming.
Yeah.
Or, like, any suspicions about it.
He tries once, and then a storm happens, and he's like, well, I guess I'm screwed.
Yep, because Star Clan actually hates me.
Well.
Star Clan just really wants to watch the world burn.
It's so funny. Oh my god,
like,
yeah.
This is the theory I'm running under now, is Star Clan just wants to see these cats suffer because they all die.
That must be it.
They're just screwing with them now.
Yeah, so back up in the mountains, the clan cats are, like, introduced to the Tribe of Rushing Water's leader, Stone Teller. They bump up into some cultural differences, but are welcomed without much apprehension, because the tribe, for these few chapters, is significantly more intelligent than all four of the clans combined.
Yeah.
They stop being smart later, but, like, that's later.
The tribe's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Stormfur decides that he wants to fall in love with Brooke now, and that puts his mind at ease. It slakes his thirst in a land beset by drought.
Yeah, you know, he really does take after his father.
Oh my god.
Like, okay, like, let me break this down. You have a cat mm-hmm. from a clan, And then they start mooning, right, over a cat from a different organization with a name based on water. And that cat's name is also based on water.
Yeah, streams in particular.
Yes, yes. God. Boy needs to chill.
He definitely does. The other clan cats are, like, worried that the tribe cats are going to try to keep them there for longer than they'd like, but they need to rest up until Tawny Pelt's shoulder gets better. So Stormfur and Squirrel Paw and Gramblegraw go hunting together, and they learn some more about the tribe's advanced tactics for hunting birds of prey. They're like, how did you do that?
This is, in fact... the only instance of that kind of cultural exchange I mentioned earlier.
Basically, where the tribe shows them how to learn how to share prey.
Yeah, the tribe introduces them to using
guns.
Using mice not as a primary prey, but as bait to catch hawks.
Yeah, mooching.
Which is cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool as heck as well. I also like that they were like, the clan cats did this once, but the tribe like all wear mud on their pelt to blend in against the rocks, and I thought that was cool as well. Like,
yeah.
Yo, camouflage.
Hide their scent.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, it's really, really neato.
Since they live in the Scottish Highlands, their fur is plaid, so they don't stand out against the,
Yeah.
But,
For these couple chapters, the tribe is really cool.
Yeah, so after a few more days with them, Tawny Pelt's shoulder is healed up for her to leave, but the tribe refuses to let them go. And Crow Paw is going bananas about this. He's like, what makes you think you can stop us? And then Stone Teller is like, hey, let's have a gathering. And Crow Paw's like, no, really though, like, why do you think you can stop us? And Crag shows them the gun, and Crow Paw's like, all right, fine. And at the gathering, Stone Teller is like, hey, Stormfur, you're the chosen one. Because, like, we saw that a silver cat was happening, and you have lost your outdoor privileges until you deliver us from Sharptooth, this mountain lion that is immune to bullets or whatever. And Stormfur is like, hey, hold on, I'm not the silver one.
And this is when the tribe gets really, really dumb.
My sister is silver, and the tribe is like, no, 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 no. When we first saw her, her fur was wet, so it looked black. He's like, no, 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 I'm gray. Like, really? And the tribe's like, no, 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 you're the chosen one. You're going to save us from Sharptooth.
Despite the fact that Feathertail is actively described as silver, and her mother had silver in her name.
Yeah, it's so good. So,
like, the tribe collectively drinks a whole bunch of idiot juice.
Basically. All the brain cells go out the window. Leafpaw has them now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the brain cells go out the window. It's like, hey, cat, fight a mountain lion.
Like, it's so stupid.
It's really good.
Back in the clans, Leafpaw goes to the Moonstone, and she meets with Mothwing, who shows off how great River Clan is doing, and Barkface, who shows off how half of Wind Clan is dead because all the rabbits are poisoned. It's great. At the Moonstone, yeah. Leafpaw has a strange dream, and then she meets Spotted Leaf, who informs her that she thinks Firestar is super hot.
Yeah, this is one of the weirder parts of this book, because I don't know if you mentioned at any point in this podcast. When Firepaw met Spotted Leaf, Spotted Leaf was, you know, a proper medicine cat. She was like an adult cat. Firepaw was like barely an apprentice.
Yeah. She was basically a babysitter.
Hole up there.
Yeah.
Because that's not kosher.
She becomes increasingly obsessed with him after her death. Like, she speaks to him literally once in the first book. And then afterwards, the, like, entire rest of the canon is bending over backwards to, like, try to convince the audience that they were some kind of star-crossed lovers or something. When, like, in actuality, you know, if you're interpreting it from the source book, it was basically just a kid falling in love with his babysitter as far as I'm concerned.
Rusty Firepaw was a young enough cat to not get neutered.
Yes.
Which is really young.
He was around 6 months, right? That was the
idea. Yes, something like that. Yeah, he was like just above kid 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so messed up. Spotted Leaf, you gotta chill.
Absolutely. It's so silly.
And like, it's really blatant in this segment. That like, yeah, Spotted Leaf says something to the tune of, if I wasn't down the medicine cat's path, things could have been different with with Firepaw. It's really messed up.
Yeah, so Spotted Leaf shows up and she's like, yeah, your dad is super hot. And Leafpaw's like, cool, why'd you tell me that? And then a few days later, Spotted Leaf helps Leafpaw rescue a River Clan apprentice with the help of Spotted Leaf's ghost, who decides that she would do a better job of being Leafpaw's mom than Sandstorm was. And Mothwing just kind of watches and then gets berated by Hawkfrost because, yep, you know, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, Mothwing kind of gets a lot of crap from Hawkfrost that she really doesn't deserve.
Yeah, she doesn't need to take that.
Anytime she does, like, anything, Hawkfrost is like, you're the worst. I'll tell Leopard Star that you're a bad medicine cat, you apprentice.
Basically, yeah. And then the prophecy cats, meanwhile, are, like, trying to grapple with the whole tribe situation. Brooke is trying to make things right between her and Stormfur, but Stormfur just, like, flips his hair and stalks away, and Brooke is, like, left on the curb in a tattered prom dress crying.
Yeah, Stormfur is no longer horny on Maine.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's Feathertail's perspective, because the other cats have, like, left or something. And she's like, I want to stay with my brother and let everybody else, like, go back to the clans without her, me. And Brambleclaw is like, no. So they leave Stormfur behind instead. And Feathertail is like, hey, I'm still uncomfortable with this. But then they, like, go back with disguises to rescue him.
Yeah, they, like, they roll themselves in mud like the tribe, which is, like, yeah, the coolest, most flavorful part of this entire thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
And then Sharptooth shows up and he murders everybody. Yeah, and the clan cats leave without helping.
Everyone just dies. It's horrifying.
It's so terrible.
like what? It's just this mountain lion just savaging these cats.
The book wants us to, like, care about the protagonists, but they do. This is, like, actually in like, obviously nobody can fight a mountain lion, like, one-on-one, but, like, oh my god.
Yeah, like,
they
the
just
ending,
watch them die.
Yeah, like, the ending line to the chapter is, like, behind them, the tribe's heartbroken wailing died away, drowned in the pattering roar, rain, an endless unchanging roar of the waterfall. Like, these cats are not having a good time, and the Clatten cats are like, yeah, that,
I mean,
sucks.
To some extent, like, you can understand it, because, I mean, like, it's not their problem, but, like,
yeah,
also...
But at the same time, like, god... The tribe are having just as bad a time as the clans, really?
Yeah.
Like, everyone is having an awful time in this book. The theme of this book is that everything sucks.
Unless you're River Clan.
Unless you're River Clan, in which case there's, you know, fish.
And by River Clan, I mean Hawkfrost.
Yeah, Hawkfrost and Mothwing, the only citizens of River Clan.
Basically. So Leafpaw comes back to the Thunder Clan camp, and she's finds out that Cloudtail and Brightheart are missing, and that Dappletail has died from eating poison, which they warned her about, but she was like, no, I'm an American citizen. I demand my right to eat poison if I want to.
Yeah, and don't eat rabbits, kids.
Yeah, basically. Leafpaw goes out on a hunting patrol, but there's literally no prey everywhere, and Two Legs are destroying more and more of the forest on the daily. She and Sorreltail wander into, like, River Clan territory, and they encounter Hawkfrost, who, yeah, basically Leafpaw is like, hey, Hawkfrost, let Sorreltail go, she didn't mean to trespass. And Hawkfrost refuses and then accidentally tells them that Mistyfoot has gone missing recently, so now, like, there are even fewer River Clan cats than before.
But at least Mistyfoot exists, so, like, there we know that River Clan is still there, and it's not just Hawkfrost killed all of River Clan and now they're just pretending
it exists off screen. The other River Clan cat shows up and convinces Hawkfrost to let Sorreltail go. And after Hawkfrost leaves, Sorreltail is, what's her name? Mothwing is like, yeah, Tiger Star was my dad. And Leafpaw was like, wait, didn't I find this out, like, four chapters ago?
Well, it was like a suspicion, but, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta confirm the suspicion.
Absolutely.
It's like cat Mythbusters.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm thinking about Mythbusters. I love those guys.
Man.
So the prophecy cats, yeah, they're like, wow, we don't feel guilty at all over what happened with the tribe. And they continue hunting in the tribe's territory while searching for the way back.
Unless their name is Stormfur.
He's not guilty so much as he really wishes that he hadn't burned that bridge with the girl that he...
Yeah, yeah, he's gone back to being horny on Maine.
Yeah, because now the only girl is Squirrelpaw, and he does think about Squirrelpaw quite a lot. lot whenever Brooke isn't around. But yeah, they find a place to take shelter in for the night, and they're greeted by like this group of ex-tribe cats that were on a similar prophecy until they failed. And Stormfur spends some time talking with them about their respective prophecies and crises of faith. And then he's visited by his hot mom in his dreams. And he's like, Silverstream, what should I do? And Silverstream says, don't listen to StarClan. Because, like, apparently she forgot that she was in StarClan. And she's like, follow your Y chromosome. Because, as we all know, being a traitor is passed down through the Y chromosome. So Stormfur decides that he's going to go back and he's going to save the tribe, regardless of his prior obligations to, you know, the clans and the world that he was from.
He wasn't technically one of the prophecy cats.
Yeah.
So he can just do whatever, really.
Basically. But, you know, Feathertail's like, I am Spartacus. And and all the other cats in tandem go, all right, I'm also Spartacus. And then they accidentally fulfill one of the other prophecies that the tribes had about six cats saving them from Sharp Fang or whatever his name was.
Yeah, suddenly I forgot to.
And then they go back to the tribe, and they have this plan to murder Sharptooth. Squirrelpaw and Stormfur are going to spend half the day filling up a rabbit with death berries, and then Sharptooth is going to show up and swat it aside, and then Feathertail is going to knock down a stalactite and impale Sharptooth on it, and then she's going to die.
I mean, that's not the plan, but close enough, yes.
I mean, that's what ends up happening anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And Stone Teller's like, whoa, how'd you do that? And Feathertail's like, yeah, it's called a knife. And then she dies of a brain aneurysm. And Stormfur and Crowpaw are, like, beside themselves with grief, but the tribe cats are all happy, and they're, like, celebrating.
And of course, it turns out that from the beginning, you know, like, everyone thought Feathertail was the silver cat.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
Yeah, so...
Because, you know, she's actually silver.
Basically. So the tribe cats are all jubilant, you know, there's some values dissonance, and after a few more days with the tribe, they head home, and finally we catch sight of Highstone. And then in the epilogue, back in the forest, Leafpaw is like, why are there a bunch of missing cats? And she ends up wandering inside of a Have-A-Heart trap at the end.
So, God, everything sucks for everyone.
It's want to say it's tragicomic, but I think it's only comic for me because I think it's funny.
Yeah, it's like everyone, like every single decision made in this entire book ends up being bad for at least one cat.
It's so bad. Like,
every single thing.
I'm, like, so like, irritated that ShadowClan is, like, back to being Slytherins. Like, they had the potential to grow. Like, hey, yeah. You know, usually the first leader after a fascist is supposed to be, you know, all progressive, at least in the eyes of, in respect to the prior fascist. But then Blackstar is like, yeah, I don't, like, care. The two legs aren't hurting me as much, yeah. You know? We're just rats.
Yeah, and despite the fact that, like, we've seen that happen before,
mm-hmm.
It didn't go well.
He saw it happen before. He took over after it happened before.
A lot of cats died.
It was so...
The only reason that clan is alive right now is because of Cinderpelt.
Basically, it's ridiculous.
It's even mentioned at the time that, like, Blackstar is ignoring his medicine cat, who was one of the ones who Cinderpelt saved during that narrative.
Any sense.
In order to say, yeah, Shadow Clan's strong, like, God, it's so bizarre.
Didn't ask, plus you're white, you know, that's my general philosophy towards, like, I just wish that he was smart. Like, why is that so hard for him to do?
Yeah, like, that seems to be, like, a general thing that seems to befall, like, every single Shadow Clan leader ever.
I guess.
What is it with Shadow Clan and just being really dumb? Like, they're not even evil, they're just stupid.
I mean, like, yeah, the Shadow Clan plots from, like, the prior books were, like, kind of clever. Like, every, like, once in a while I'm like, huh,
okay,
that makes sense.
But, like, okay. You have Ragged Star, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ragged Star, way back in the day. He was, you know, all up on the nepotism, mm-hmm. made Broken Tail his deputy. That didn't go well. Broken Tail killed him.
Yeah.
Just killed him.
Stupid.
That Then you have Broken Star, you know, the original fascist.
Yes.
Child soldiers. Who was employing child soldiers. And everyone noticed this. And like, he's like, oh yeah, let's chase out WindClan. No one will be angry about that.
In his defense, no one was angry about that.
Well, yeah, but some people decided to do some things about it.
Yeah, that was his big mistake. He shouldn't have become leader when Firestar was right about to happen.
Yeah. So, and like, okay, so that happened. Mm-hmm. And then after Broken Star was, you know, murked, we had, who was it, Nightstar? Who never actually got the star name and never actually became leader. So
yeah, he was putting on airs.
He was putting on airs, which was, of course, the best idea to make. So he died from the illness, leaving Shadow Clan leaderless. And then, of course, that was a perfect position for, you know, everyone's favorite Shadow Clan leader to come in. Shadow Clan just, I feel like that's the problem with Shadow Clan. The cats there aren't bad. Their leaders just all suck all the time.
I think that Nightstar was probably the closest that Shadow Clan has had to a good leader so far.
But he wasn't actually a leader.
Ordained by Star Clan. Like, honestly, hey, if you weren't ordained by Star Clan, would you tell anyone?
You know, it kind of makes you wonder, like, was the reason he wasn't ordained by Star Clan specifically to set up Tiger Star so Fire Star could end up rising against Tiger Star with the prophecy?
I mean, probably.
Like, Shadow Clan is kind of a puppet.
Yeah.
Star Clan's kind of questionable, aren't they?
You mean like in the canon? I thought you were talking like from a literary perspective, like were the Eren Hunters doing that?
No, I mean like in the canon, Star Clan is like actively setting Shadow Clan up to fail at every turn.
They hate Shadow Clan as much as the narrators do, I guess.
Yeah, like, God, everyone hates Shadow Clan.
It's so
and
sad.
It's really, like, there's a strange characterization that goes on, and it's consistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through New Prophecy and the original arc of River Clan generally suck.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of unpleasant people.
Yeah.
But there's like a grudging respect.
Yes.
WindClan
we generally like.
WindClan we generally like, but they're always starving for some reason.
Yeah.
Like if a clan is starving, it's WindClan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shadow Clan are like they just have garbage leaders.
Because
of that, they can't get ahead.
They're the bogeyman, basically.
Yeah, they're the bogeyman of the forest. They don't have the best situation in their lives, right?
Yeah,
like they live in like the marshes. They live next to a two-legged dump. They get sick from eating rats. Like, there's a lot to be sympathetic about through Shadow Clan.
Definitely.
But they just always have the worst leader, so we're never sympathetic about them. So they just die, and no one cares that they die.
Yeah.
It's kind of a yikes.
It really makes you think, huh?
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
By all means, go off about Shadow Clan. Like, we're here to talk about basically whatever. The book is just a jumping off point.
Yeah, so that's my take on Shadow Clan. Shadow Clan is really just horribly unlucky that Star Clan seems to have a vendetta against.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the interesting thing about the Tribe of Rushing Water. They have a whole nother set of like warrior ancestors.
Yeah.
And like it makes you wonder, like how powerful is Star Clan?
Yeah.
Apparently powerful enough to completely screw over all of Shadow Clan.
I mean, in Star Clan's defense, they did try to kill Tiger Star a few times along the way.
Like they suck at it though.
Yeah, they really do suck at it.
Like Star Clan is bad enough at killing Tiger Star that we needed to bring in someone who like we needed to bring in the atheist.
Dead ringer. I'm not.
Yeah.
Fire Star was not an atheist, right?
But Scourge was.
That's true, yes. I forgot about that.
Firestar isn't the one that killed him, man.
I forgot about that. I did like that a lot.
Scourge, you know, the best character in the entire series.
Would you say that you're a Blood Clan cat?
I wouldn't say I'm a Blood Clan cat, but I'm definitely a Blood Clan fan.
Alright, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. I would like to thank you so much for listening to Four Trees, our Warrior Cats community podcast. I, again, have been your host, Spencer Grant, and I would like to sincerely thank our guest, Chris, for joining us for the last little while. It has been a genuine pleasure to have somebody who is so
utterly enthusiastic about these books. We ended up cutting each other off so much while we were recording this, and I think this is some of the first instances in episodes where the guest has a lot more to say than the host, which I really appreciate because it makes me feel a little bit less guilty about the process of making these episodes. So yeah, genuinely, thank you so much, Chris. Before I go, I would like to say a few things. For one, thank you. And for two, I've got some projects on the horizon, and that might result in a slight hiccup with the upload schedule. I'm doing my dangdest to make sure that everything is consistent, but it's a little bit difficult to, now that like I'm branching out into making community content, that means forcing people to read the books, and not everybody is very good at that, and not everybody has the time to devote to reading these books, which means that, you know, there may be some weeks where we'd have to go without a Four Trees episode, or we might have to go with like an alternate episode or a bonus episode or something like that. So on the back burner, I've got some basic, like 3 days after the recording session with Alex, we actually ended up trying out the Warrior Cats adventure game with our D&D group. So I've got those episodes. They're like totally edited, and we're just waiting on some assets from some other people to come through before I put them out, because I want to make sure that they are of a high enough quality to satiate my, I don't know, personal standards. But yeah, expect D&D at some point in the future. It might not happen within like the week or something. Yeah, it definitely won't happen within this week, but it becomes increasingly likely with every week that passes from this episode's air date. So you've got that. And also, of course, you know, I've been doing some other stuff with like music, recently. I'm not the best musician because I've only really been at it for like a year and change, but, I do think that some of it is pretty fun to listen to. So if you check out my Twitter, you will be able to see some recent posts about, some folk tunes that I've been doing to, Warrior Cats themes. And maybe I'll place one at the end of this, the next episode as like a teaser. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, that's enough, I guess, advertising my own stuff. I would like to say thank you so much for listening to Four Trees, a Warrior Cats community podcast. I've been your host, again, Spencer Grant. I know I said this at the beginning. I want to say it again in case you forget, because I forget. Yeah, Chris, pleasure to have. Four Trees is recorded live in front of a studio audience at Druid's Hollow Studios here in Bristol. Our theme was composed and performed by Spencer Chopin-Grant and mixed by Alex Turner. Our graphics and 3D assets were designed by Spencer Diablo-Grant, and our editor is Spencer Pagliacci-Granta. The Warrior Cat series is written by Aaron Hunter and distributed by HarperCollins. Please support the official release. You can find us at the web at spencergrant.co.uk/fourtrees or at anchor.fm/fourtrees. Or you can find our YouTube uploads with auto-generated subtitles and audio visualizations on youtube.com/c/spencergrant. Our podcast is available and will continue to be available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Music, and generally wherever you get your podcasts. Again, I've been Spencer, and you have been absolutely beautiful, and I love you. Bye!